Praise God. It is a blessing once again to stand in the pulpit on a Sunday morning. Woohoo! So good. We have gathered here to hear what God. We're gathered actually to do what Jesus told us to do. Forsake not the assembly, amen, and study about the kingdom. We study about the kingdom that we can show the kingdom to other people. And as we're getting into these parables about the kingdom in Matthew 13, we saw at the beginning, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him. And we went through that same day scenario, all the things that happened that day. And it's neat because it starts at breakfast. You know? And so I wrote just a quick synopsis over the last 3 weeks just to remind you, if you haven't been here, or if you've been asleep, or if you didn't know what happened during that day, some of the highlights were simple. It was like this. We have seen that on this day, on that day, Jesus had already had a fuller day than most folks have all week long, right? That day that he started out, that the harassment began during his breakfast on the Sabbath day. And there, he didn't back down when the harassment started, right? He was going through the cornfield. Him and his disciples plucked some corn, started eating it, and the religious people of the day said, "Don't do that! It's a Sabbath day." But Jesus didn't back down. He didn't say, "Oh, excuse me, you're right. It's the Sabbath day. We shouldn't eat today." No, he said, "Boys, keep on eating. Let me talk to these Pharisees. Let me talk to these religious folks and show them who really is the Lord of the Sabbath." He reminded them of what David did. He reminded them of how they personally defamed the Sabbath, their priests defamed the Sabbath every Sabbath. And he showed them through that. And then he went into their synagogue, which I thought was fantastic. When somebody comes against you, go to their house. And Jesus went right to their house. And he started teaching and showing the love and the grace of God. He found a man there with a withered hand. And he asked, "Isn't it good to do good? Isn't it right to do good on the Sabbath day?" And he healed the man with the withered hand. Oh, but it made the religious folks kind of upset. You know, "How does he dare come in here and do that?" Anyhow, so he saw that they were filled with indignation and envy in their heart, and he went outside of that spot, and many people started following him. They say, "Wow, look at what he just did. This is pretty cool. I want to see some more of it. I want to hear some more of the teaching." And so in that, he goes out and he goes into another house. And while he's going, those religious people say, "Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go find somebody that has a devil, and we're going to go and try to destroy him." The scripture is all in chapter 12. You go back and read through that. And this is just a synopsis of that. And so they brought the devil-possessed man who couldn't hear or speak. And Jesus healed him. And they were so filled with vileness and their religiosity. They claimed that he was casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, by the authority of Beelzebub. Then Jesus goes in talking about what the true blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. And that was a great, I enjoyed teaching that. That was really interesting to me to see what Jesus really said about it. And then he goes into another house, or into a house, and he sits down and he starts to teach. And then when he was there, his mother and his brothers came to ask him something. They wanted to get in and talk to him. And Jesus said, "Who are my mother and who is my brothers and my sisters? Is these who do the will of the Father," as he pointed his hands to his disciples. Those who do the will of the Father. That doing the will of the Father is a huge thing, folks. It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just hearing God's word. It's what do you do with it? It's where is your focus, as we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. Your focus, where you at. And then after that, that same day, we're finally in chapter 13. Amen? And so we'll start in chapter 13. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Father, for the teaching that we're about ready to go over, Father. And I pray that you would help us to check ourselves to see whether we be in the kingdom, that the kingdom is growing within us, or have we been overly consumed with the things of this world. that we might be being choked out even now. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts as we get into your word. I pray, Father, that if there be or as there be wickedness in us, ask us to forgive, get forgiveness for that, that your word would not be hindered inside of us. Lord, let the Holy Spirit teach us what the scripture says. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the individual. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Jesus' name. And he says in 13:1, the same day Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the seaside, and multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. It's interesting that he talks about multitudes. And I've often read this and I never wondered where they came from. Have you ever wondered? It's like, because I never really put chapter 12 and chapter 13 together in the same thought. You know, I thought, well, Jesus went out of a house. There's just flocks of people following him. No, he had just cast out demons. He had just healed people. He had just told them the righteous kingdom of God. He had just showed the holiness and the power of the Most High God in amongst people. And those people were saying, isn't this the Son of David? Isn't this the one who was supposed to come? Right? And so he had already been at work all day long. Have you ever been witnessing to somebody and wondered why you can't get to them a little bit better? Let me ask you this. Have you been working with that person for a long period of time? Right? From the morning all the way until the time. Right? You got to walk with them. They will never care how much you know until they know how much you care. You got to be with those individuals, talking to those individuals, loving those individuals, especially when those individuals are unlovely, right? Even when they have questions, endless questions, you got to love them. You got to love those people. You got to wrap your heart and your mind around those people, even when they're gone for a while and they come back and they just want to know what God is doing. You are the conduit of Jesus Christ in this day and time. Those people that are around you, those multitudes that you know, they're waiting for you to show the mercy and the kindness and the righteousness of the kingdom of God through the word of God and through your personal life. Healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all of those things that Jesus did. And he said that greater things than these you shall do. And so Jesus began, he sat down in a boat because of the multitudes that stood on the, and praise God, we do this backwards, right? Jesus went and sat and everybody stood up. Y'all ought to be standing. I ought to be sitting. And I'm saying, I ain't Jesus, so yeah, that ain't right. And he spake many things, amen? He spoke many things to them in parables. I dropped two. In parables, saying, all right, first, he spoke many things in parables. This day that he's talking about, he speaks on seven different parables on this day. First will be the good seed, right? And so he's going to speak on that. He's going to show that through the word of God. He's going to speak on the tares and the wheat. He's going to speak on the mustard seed. He's going to speak on the sowing leaven in amongst. And he's going to show the treasures of heaven, the pearl of great price and the fishnet. And as you look through this, this is a progression of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout a human life, throughout the way things go, all the way up until the day of judgment when the kingdom comes and God separates the sheep from the goat. He separates the good fish, the bad fish, all those things. So he's talking about the gospel working all the way through in the kingdom that is now within us. He's going to show all these things together, and he starts with this one. As he's speaking to a group of people that can understand what it means to sow and to reap. And so it says, behold, a sower went off, excuse me. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed, and some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, and they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I thought of a lot of different ways to teach this, but I think Jesus teaches it well enough. Mm-hmm. All right, so he's just coming across, and so you got the idea. There's a sower went out to sow, and as he scattered the seed, seeds fell in different places. Jesus is going to go on teaching a little bit deeper into this further on in Matthew, and we'll get to that. I want him to explain it to you and not me. Amen. He'll do a much better job. But as he was teaching this, the disciples asked, why are you teaching in parables? What I would like us to glean out of this is that oftentimes when you're witnessing and you're teaching about the kingdom, you need to use today terms. You need to meet people where they're at to explain the gospel in such a way, to explain the kingdom in such a way that they can get it. You know, we need to meet them with the love and the compassion and the fullness and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus did here with these people. He talked about something that everybody knew. I like it because he didn't say in Isaiah chapter 10, you know, he didn't say in Zechariah said this. He said, listen, folks, this is real. This is the kingdom. It's the kingdom that's within you. And let me tell you how it works. Not everybody's going to get it. In fact, I'm no mathematician, but there's four things here. Three of them don't. One of them does. That means two-thirds don't get it.
Three-fourths.
Three-fourths. Thank you. Praise God. Woo-hoo! Yay. Glad there's a math guy here. Three-fourths. They don't get it. Right? They don't get it. So as you're witnessing and telling people about the kingdom, don't be upset if they don't get it. Most won't. Most will not understand it. They will not be able to wrap their mind about it. But he gave it to you to speak in real life terms to the individuals that you're talking to. And he did it that way on purpose. And he shows us these pictures through parables on purpose. And he says, here's the ones that won't get it. Because it is given unto you, verse 11, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken, and given to he that hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And this is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and by and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. There's some interesting things that he's talking about there. They will see it, but they won't perceive it. Perceive it. Perceive it. I can't say it, but it
understand.
Is understand. Perceive. Thank you. Because that's where I was going with. They won't understand. They don't quite understand it. How do you come to understanding anything? What do you got to do? It starts with S and ends in uddy.
Study,
right? Right? You got to study. If you want to understand math, you got to study math to get it. That's how I didn't know 3/4, right? 75% of them don't get it, right? Only 25% do. I didn't study math, so I didn't get that. But if you study math, you will understand those things. There are people that actually understand why we use silent letters. You know how they understand that? They study it. I'm with you, sister. I don't get it either. Doesn't make a noise. Don't use it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I know you're going to tell me. Go ahead.
I just was going to explain. The reason why they have silent letters is because there's more to the word to complete it. That's why.
Yeah, so they use things that don't make any noise to give you more letters to the word. That's the American way. Yeah, amen. And I understand what you're saying. You can explain it to me, but I don't want to understand that. So in that, I will not understand it, right? And again, as he's talking about sowing the seeds, there's some that just don't understand it. They won't get it. They might hear it and grow up for a second and say, yay, praise God, I heard this great thing. But then there comes the desire to understand it a little bit deeper. And that means you got to dig in. That means you got to turn over the soil. That means you got to strive for the next step, because just hearing it and believing it doesn't really change who you are internally until you begin to understand the depth of the teaching that he's talking about in any one given thing. Because there will be many on that day, and we've said this a lot, that will say, Lord, Lord. This is Matthew chapter 7, verses 18 and following, right? Many will come to me on that day and saying, Lord, Lord, have we not? Or Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, not everyone who comes to me on that day saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth, amen, doeth my Father's will. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? Not everyone that hears about it and says that they believe it will actually get into the kingdom because they didn't dig deep enough to understand what the kingdom was really all about. See, the kingdom is within you. It is a dormant seed. That's why one must be born again. Right, we went over it this morning in Sunday school, body, soul, and spirit. God breathed into man and he became a living soul. But he already had a spirit. Right? And then he was given a body, scooped up into dirt. When God breathed into you, he put something in you that is outside of every other thing that he created. Animals don't have souls, have spirits, right? A lot of folks say, I disagree with that. Well, the Bible is what I agree with. Okay, and I'm not going to get in whether all dogs go to heaven or not. That's talking about how many angels can dance on the pin of a head of a needle. It doesn't matter, right? I know that there are animals in heaven, but I don't know if my dog is going. Right? So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to wrestle that. There's a lot of folks that will get upset. Well, I know my Fido's in heaven. Hot dog. Praise God for you. No. He wouldn't be in heaven. And if he's a hot dog, that means your dog could also go to hell. Mm. So anyhow, humankind is different. Right, we are different because we're a living soul. There's a kingdom mentality that was put in us at the very creation of humankind. When God breathed into us, he breathed into us the kingdom of God, the knowledge of God, the hope of an everlasting covenant with God that other things don't have in this earth. And so, and not everybody's going to get that because they're so consumed with this world. Jesus taught in parables so those who said they could see would not see. Those who said they could hear, but they did not perceive what they were hearing. He spoke in a way that only those who were desiring to understand, to be a disciple, a student of God, those who were really wanting to understand could understand. But everybody else wasn't able to understand because their heart wasn't seeking God. If you shall find me, if you seek me diligently with all your heart. Right? That kingdom becoming alive, that understanding, that desiring to know God more, enough willing to die to the lust of your flesh. Right? That's what brings you into the fullness of the knowledge of the kingdom, which is the promise of the life that is yet to come. Everlasting joy, peace with God. Right? Do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to focus on the things that really matter, not the things that are temporal in this world? I believe that we need to start focusing on what Jesus said more than what CNN says. Right? We need to be focusing on how Jesus taught about the kingdom more than what some theologian as you think. Jesus explains this really plainly. He's talking to his disciples here, says, and he talks about this prophecy, verse 15, for this people's heart is gross, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Look at what was said here. They grow whack. They waxed gross. All right? I tried to explain gross to my grandchildren. They just thought it was icky because we changed the real meaning of the word. All right? Gross means thick. It's full. They waxed thick in their heart. They weren't able to accept the deeper things of God because they believed what they believed, regardless of what the scripture said. They were stubborn, stiff-necked, and would not turn to the righteousness of God because of the teachings of man and the doctrines of devils. They believed what they believed, and they weren't going to change from it. We need to be careful of that. Their eyes are dull of their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they have closed. It's not that they could not understand, it's that they would not understand. They closed their eyes. They saw Jesus. These Pharisees that he just talked with, that are definitely in the multitude that is around him, he's in the boat. The Pharisees didn't stop following him and listening to him, and he's talking to them. Their eyes, they chose to close. They just saw a man's withered hand healed. They just saw a devil cast out of a man. They just saw these deep, marvelous teachings of God laid out where everyone could get a hold of it, and they closed their eyes. Church, a lot of that's happening in the church in America. We are closing our eyes to the fullness of Jesus Christ because of the teachings of men and the doctrines of devils. We need to be really careful that we go back to the Bible for our understanding. Do not listen to me if I am not proclaiming Jesus' words. That's why I try real hard not to put my thoughts into anything. Because y'all know me. I don't use silent letters. I don't use them. They don't make a noise. That is my movement to say, that's my green movement. Right? I'm saving the world by not writing, because I handwrite all my stuff. Right? And so if it don't have a sound, I don't put it on paper. I've probably saved at least one ink pen in my life by doing that. What a great movement. And so, anyhow. And a bunch of paper, amen. And so, but they're dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their hearts and should understand. Eyes and should understand with their heart and should be converted. That word converted means changed. You are born an enemy of the cross. You are born an enemy of God. You are born a sinner. How many have sinned and come short of the glory of God? All. Guess what that means in the Greek? All. Hebrew also. It's all. All of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all gone like sheep astray. All of us have. But those who are desiring to know God, those who will seek Him will find Him. Those who want to understand, God will illuminate their hearts and their minds and direct their bodies into the fullness of the kingdom of God right now. Do you know that? And how does that start? You must be born again. God's got to move over the man. He's got, thank you for that. God's got to move right over the person and call you by name, and which he does continually to all people. You know that. Jesus wants to save Pelosi as much as he wanted to save you. Jesus wants to save the most wicked person in Davos right now in Switzerland. Where is that? I think it's Switzerland. Amen. Amen. The most wicked person amongst you in church, he wants to save you. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to open the eyes of the blind. He came to open the ears of the deaf. But the reason they will not hear, the reason they will not see, is because their religiosity has closed their minds and closed their ears. They're willfully ignorant of the kingdom of God. And God said, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. I never sent any man to hell. God never sent one human being to hell. It was not designed for you. It was designed for Lucifer, for the devil, and his angels. That's what it was designed for. But because of the hardness of our heart, we go there. Because we don't want to be converted. We want to walk around with our eyes closed. That's why we, this church, people, we need to really, because I'm going to say this again, I truly believe we're closer to the end than we are the beginning.
Yes.
Amen? Yep. I'm seeing things, right? I'm seeing stuff in the world. I'm watching a worldwide influx of demonic activity all over the globe. There's not a spot clear. So you folks who said, well, I'm going to leave New York and I'm going to go to free America. Listen, it's still being ruled by the demonic powers of this world. Okay. I don't care if you're in Florida and John DeSantis or
Rob.
Mr. DeSantis is doing it. He is not God. Amen? And this world is going to wax worse and worse and worse. And the only ones that have their eyes open to it are the ones who want to see it. They want to see it. They want to be, they want to learn. They want to understand the times that they're in. Do you want it? Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear these things which you hear and have not heard them. Think about that. Those things that were far off when Isaiah saw these, when he heard it, and he was seeing just the mountaintops of prophecy. He was just seeing the bits and sparks and things that Jesus, he was going to come. He was going to be the God of the Gentiles. He's going to be the God of the Hebrews. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And he only saw bits and parts of it. And then along comes Christ, the Messiah, Son of David, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Healer. Well, Messiah, Christ. He came on the scene. Those men who wanted to see it, the prophets, Moses, all those guys that wanted to see it happen, they couldn't see it, but they believed it. Abraham believed God. It was counted as him to righteousness, and he knew that there was going to be a house made without hands for him, and that's what he was looking to. He was looking for the promised land, and it wasn't Canaan, not on the earth. He was looking for the kingdom of God coming to become alive, to become vibrant inside of all human beings that want the kingdom of God. Praise God. I love his word because then he explains, hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, that's really, really important. It's not that they didn't hear it, they didn't understand it. How many of us have come across the scripture and said, I don't understand that? All right? Now, do you just go to the next thought, or do you try to understand it? Come on.
Pray about it.
You pray about it, and you work through it. If you really want to know those things that you don't understand about God, dig for it. The treasure is there, you just got to dig for it. It's in the Word of God. You just got to dig for it. If you want to understand high math, right? You got to dig for it. If you want to understand why diagramming sentences really matter, you got to dig for it. If you want to understand medical stuff, right? What kind of nurse are you besides a real good one? It's a... No, not
practitioner.
Practitioner. Yeah, that means you practice really good, right? A nurse practitioner. But did they just give you that?
No.
Well, what did you have to do for it?
Study.
How many hours?
A lot.
You had to dig for it. But you wanted it. You wanted to understand those things, right? And so what did you have to do? You had to do it. You had to dig for it. You want to understand the deeper things of God, the deeper things of these parables that he's talking about? Dig for it. You want to understand why sin is sin and righteousness is righteousness? Dig for it. The answer's in the Word of God. Those who don't understand are those who are willfully ignorant to the things of God. Willfully ignorant. Because the answer's there, they just don't want to know it bad enough to dig it up. Right? Those are the ones, and when you're not willing to go in and dig it up for yourself, or you're waiting for some pastor to regurgitate it to you, and then you eat it up, it's kind of nasty thinking about it, right? It's not for me to chew your food. It's for you, and when these deeper things, the things of the kingdom come to you, and you don't understand it, you can understand it. These people decided not to understand it. I don't want to know it. I don't want to know it bad enough to do the things that will make me enlightened to it. And then when they do that, the enemy comes along. Anyone that heareth the kingdom and understandeth not, then comes the wicked one and catches away what was sown in his heart. All right, I'm reading this. I'm wanting to understand it, but I'm not wanting to understand it more than what I just read, right? Come across all of the bagats. And, dude, I wonder why they're there. Yeah, well, I'll just move on. Wait a second. Chase a couple of those names down. Find out who they are. Find out why they're in the lineage of Jesus. Find out why it was important to God to register the names of the ones who came out of Babylon in Ezra. And he wrote them all down. Right? If you want, you don't know why it's there? Dig it up. It's in the Bible. You can find all their names. Their lineage is in the Bible. All you got to do is look it up. You'll find them there. And you'll find out why it's important in the Word of God. But you've got to want to understand it bad enough to dig it up for yourself. When you don't want to know bad enough to understand it and dig it up for yourself, how long does it take for you to forget about it? For me, immediately. For me, when I come across the question in the Word of God, I say, I wonder why that's there. And I read the next sentence, guess what I just did? I forgot why I was even wondering why it was there. Guess what happened? A devil came and stole that out of my mind. There was a treasure there. There was a pearl of great price hidden right in that scripture. And God wanted me to understand it, wanted me to go for it. He caused a hunger and a desire for me to know it. And I said, no, God, I want to push on to the next verse. Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible, right? How many times do you just blow through that? I just got to read more. I got to get more. I got to get to the end of it. Because the end, no, it's not the end where the blessing is. The blessing is all the way through it. Slow down. Meditate on it. Learn about the depth of the compassion of God that's written through that psalm. It will readjust you. It will. It'll readjust you. There's so much in there. I can't call his name. But there's a Puritan preacher that wrote a thing about this Psalm 119, and he wrote like 5 pages on every verse. All right? Why? Because he stopped, he meditated, and he wanted to understand more about it. I used to know the name of the guy. Again, who are you? No, it's Allison, right? Yeah. You know I'm bad with names. Of course, I can't remember the guy's name. But I'll look it up. Next week I'll tell you who it was. But anyhow, he wanted to learn the depths of that teaching so much that he wanted to understand it. And as he wanted to understand it, God gave him a plethora of information on every single verse because he wanted to understand it. But when you don't want to understand it, it's snatched out of your heart immediately. And on, I think it's called. And verse 20, and he that receiveth the stone in stony, the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, with joy receiveth it. All right? This has happened in this church a lot. They hear the preaching of the word and they say, ooh, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. What do I got to do to get it? Right? I see that often. But something happens as it goes on to see. Immediately he receiveth it. Oh, wow. A thought. Is that person that receiveth it and believes it at that moment, is they saved? I like that for American. Are they saved? Now, they confessed it with their mouth. They believed it in their heart. Immediately. Does that mean that they're saved? Not necessarily. Because he goes on, yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when temptations or persecutions arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Oh, wow. Folks, that's deep. Do you see the ripples in that? Hears the word, accepts that Jesus is his personal Savior. But because it's not wealth and prosperity. I named it, I claimed it, God doesn't want me to be poor. I have heard that ungodly teaching on the radio and on the TV for years. You know what? I think God does want us to be poor. You know that? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Go ahead, brother.
Did that actually say temptation or tribulation?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. Tribulation. Did I say temptation?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, I just...
Oh, yeah. What happens...
We're not to go through the tribulation.
Tribulation, right. Amen. Yep. And so, for a while, when... Wait a second. Yes, we are. We are supposed... Oh, you almost got me there, didn't you? We're not supposed to go to the wrath. But tribulation, we are supposed to. But he was told that he wouldn't have to go through tribulation, right? He said, I'll just name it and claim it, and don't worry, no tribulation, no hard time's going to... In fact, you're going to have two chickens in your pot. There's going to be a fresh coat of paint on your house. You're never going to have to worry about nothing. You're just going to walk on easy street. You said the prayer, you slid into home. But when tribulation comes, and persecution comes... arises because of the word, by and by. All right? So you believe it, you start proclaiming it, and people start hating you for it. They start persecuting you because you say you're a Christian. Those folks that you used to go out and drink and party and have a good time with, bad time with, because it's not a good time. Well, actually, sin is pleasurable for a moment, right? For a season, for a little while. So I ain't going to say that it wasn't fun, but I will tell you it was death. Right? Because the end will bring death. By and by, because, as the word says, there's no root in him. He endured for a while. When tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, by and by, he is offended.
That's not a capital W. He's not talking about Jesus.
No.
He's talking about this.
Talking about this. Amen. Yeah. Being offended. By this. Oh, thank you, my brother. You're right. He's offended. So you're reading through this, and it says, no fornicator, no drunkard is allowed into the kingdom. No iniquity is allowed into the kingdom of heaven.
Or you have to abide.
Or you have to abide in me.
That
right?
would be offensive.
That would be offensive. Yeah.
Once forever.
Yeah. You can't have sexual relationships outside of the marriage. Oh, that offends me. No drunkard. No drunkard is allowed into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that offends me. But isn't that what God says? You're offended by that because of the written word of God? He goes through the 17 works of the flesh. You're offended by that? If you practice those, any of those 17... that you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Anyone offended yet? It happens. You know why? Because I want what I want when I want it. Right? It's the whole universe revolves around me. Just ask me. I named it. I claimed it. I'm promised. God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Right? But they forget the other verses that surround that, that says you need to walk in holiness and righteousness. Anyhow, he endureth for a while. When tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, by and by. Now, I like that it happens by and by. It doesn't happen overnight. People do not overnight fall away from God. You don't just wake up one day and say, I'm no longer going to follow Jesus Christ. It is a progression. You slowly start. Well, you start basking in your sin, right? Well, God's not going to judge me for that, so I'm going to just... He didn't get me the last time I did it, so I'm going to keep doing it. I cheated on my taxes, right? So he ain't going to get me for that this year. I'll just cheat a little bit more, right? Or, you know, I stole this one thing, or here's something. I just coveted something. Right? And God says no covetous person is allowed into the kingdom of heaven. Again, we got to go back to my two favorite words in the Bible. But God, you know, if I confess my sin, he is faithful, he's just to forgive me that sin. But there comes a humility with that, a brokenness. But by and by, he is offended. He also that received among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, choke little W word, so he's not talking about Christ. Thank you, Brother Doug. Choke the word, and and he becometh unfruitful. Wow. John 15 talks about the Father is honored. It glorifies the Father that you bear fruit, that you bear much fruit. But because of the cares of this world, you can become unfruitful. I am so worried about COVID. I'm so worried about COVID, right? I'm so worried about the world economic system. I'm so worried about the riches, my bank account. I'm so worried about my 401k, right? Isn't that what they call it, isn't it? Your retirement thing. So worried about that. You get all of your focus on your financial investments and you forget to invest financially in the Word of God. You forget to invest on the fullness of the Word of God. Your time. You get so consumed by this world and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'd love to come and come over to Kevin's house and spend some time with him, help him cut wood or whatever he's going to do. Just minister and hang out with him. I'd love to do that. But, you know, man, I've got to paint my toenails, right? Or some worthless thing. I don't paint my toenails. Prove it. I can do that. You don't want to see these feet, buddy. It says, a beautiful feet. I ain't got those. So, we can get so consumed by focusing on the wrong thing in this world that we lose sight of what's really valuable to God. And we have a very real chance, if we really get caught up in that, our heart will be drawn away from the truth and the righteousness of the kingdom, and we will love this world more than we love the promise of the kingdom that's yet to come. And when that happens, your heart gets hard to the things of God. You say, God really doesn't care. So I'm going to turn away from that, and I'm going to go where my flesh gets pleased. And if you walk in the flesh, you will not fulfill the Spirit. All right? Or if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That works the other way around, too. If you walk in the flesh, you're not going to fulfill the spiritual things. You're going to miss the kingdom of God. He received the thorn among the thorns and heareth the word, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choked the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Oh, but I pray that this is where we're at in verse 23. The fourth, Tom, well, you say this too. The fourth is always the dimensional, the spiritual, right?
Yes.
All these other
three things alike and one different.
Right. Amen. So these three things that are alike are the ones that are unwilling to be fruitful in the Spirit, unwilling to be learned in the things of God, too concerned about the world and not concerned enough about the world to come. Those are the first three, right? And then this one here. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Remember the wayside? He didn't understand it. He understood it not. The one who gets the seed growing in him, producing fruit in him, is the one that understand it, that digs down to the rock of Jesus Christ and holds on to the truth, and not the illusion of truth. There's a truth and there's an illusion of truth. The illusion of truth is name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. But the reality of truth, it says that I got to die to myself to walk with God. I've got to suffer with him if I'm going to be glorified with him. That's the real truth. And so understand it, which also bear forth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. That I love too. I don't have to bring 100-fold. You know what I need to do? Is I need to believe and God's going to bring out of me whatever he wants me to have. Whatever he wants out of me, he's going to put it in you that it will be able to be brought back. Again, we're going to have the parable of the faithful servant or the unfaithful and faithful servants where God, the master is going to leave and he's going to leave a certain talent with all the folks, which is amount of money, and they're he says, I'm going to go away and then I'm going to come back and you're going to give an account. Three of which, right, invested it and received more. One of which hid it under a rock. And Jesus said to the one who hid it under a rock, the least you could have done is brought it to the bankers, and you could have given it with usury, right? You could have given it back with a little bit. But since you had the wrong idea who I was, since you didn't really dig in and understand what I was expecting of you, I'm going to cast you out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unfaithful servant. So with these three soil types, with these three heart types, God is laying out to me, all right, when I'm going over these kingdom parables, I'm looking at this, God is trying to drive in my psyche, in my mind, the thing that matters the most to Him is me remaining close enough to Jesus that I can dig in and understand, hear what the Spirit says, adjust my life to the truth that's in the Word of God, expecting the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right? I need to focus on Jesus and not focus on the things of this world. I don't want to be choked by the thorns. I don't want to be so shallow in myself, so stuck on selfies. Right? You want to talk about a bunch of shallow folks? Selfie people. I'm not casting any stones here, you know, but I don't take pictures of myself. I got a 35 millimeter camera. I only got about a foot and a half an arm. I can't focus it, right? You know? I don't know where I was going. Yeah, I do know where I was going with that, but it really doesn't matter. I think you get the gist of it. What are you going to focus on? There's a lot of these. There's seven of these, and we just kind of touched lightly on the first one. We're going to go back. I don't know if we're going to. Yeah, I think I pretty much. Well, just a real quick fact. Understand is mentioned 190 times in the Word of God. Thank you for Pure Bible. To understand, it's mentioned 190 times. Think if God tries to say something to you like almost 200 times, do He wants you to know what understand means? And when you look at what understand is, it is a gift of those who diligently seek truth. If you're looking at what the biblical understanding of understanding of understanding is, if you want to know, it's those who really want to know, who dig in just a little bit deeper to find truth. The beginning and the end of this parable is the one who refuses to understand, and there's the one who does understand. If you do understand this parable, if you understand what it means to walk and live in the righteous kingdom of God that dwells within you, then there will be a producing of fruit in you, whatever God can entrust you with. Some will be 100, some will be 50, some will be 30. But you be that servant that has done the best that God has. You invest the best you have to understand the depth of the kingdom that dwells within you. He's not going to give you less than what He expects out of you. Yeah, did that make sense? He's not going to give you anything less than what He expects out of you. And to understand God and His Word, His righteousness, His love is the very beginning of it. The beginning of the understanding of the kingdom is to know that God expects out of you what He has put into you. That when you are in the kingdom, He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want, and it's going to happen all to us at the same day, right? It's all going to happen right then. I love that we will all be clothed at that time in the righteousness of God. Or not. Or not. Because if you don't want to understand it, God's not going to force it on you. But if you'll just dig a little bit deeper, look into the fullness of the Scripture, and see what God has for you. Anyhow, let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You, Father, for this little time of teaching that we've had today. And I ask, Lord God, that You would move in and amongst us. Father, I pray that our heart is prepared for that good ground, that good seed. No, the seed is good, because it's the Word of God. But that our heart is prepared to be the ground that can receive it, that hears the word, that understands the word, and is willing to bear fruit for the furtherance of the kingdom of God while we're here on this land at this time. We thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Love you guys.